Good morning, everybody. Boy, it's good to see that sun shining this morning, isn't it? Woo, doggies. Carly and I were talking about this morning. Had 5 days of clouds and rain and all that. Whew. I mean, we needed it. But, good to see sunshine. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be with everybody, isn't it? Amen. Sure is. I want you to listen. Well, first of all, let me tell you a little story about Connie. This is good. She's not here today, honey. I guess you're watching, but she's a little under the weather, so she's at home watching. But I was struggling. I couldn't get through. You know, I knew what I had to speak on this week, and I just was like, what? I just could not get anything. And Connie, I was back there on the back porch, just sitting there looking at a piece of paper and thinking, what? Because she said, I tell you what, I'm just going to go in the den. And I'm just going to go in there and I'm just going to pray that God just open that up and just give you some ideas to write on. I'm like, all right. Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey. Well, guess what? About 5 minutes, I started writing. It just started flowing. You believe that? Amen. God says, come to me in the little things as well as the big things. I'll help you in all things. Amen? Yeah, that's right. All right, now listen here. I want you to listen to these words very carefully. All right? You ready? All right, here we go. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can say that, nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. Da 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 da. Sing along. All you need is love. Da 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 da. All you need is love, love, love is all you need. Woo! Beatles, 1967. Huh? All you need is love. But you didn't catch those first verses, did you? You're like, what in the world? What's I talking about? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. All you need is love. Now, the word love appears in the Bible hundreds of times. And though it's not the most used word in the Bible, it's certainly one of the central themes and certainly a driving force in God's Word. We use the word love a lot, don't we? We do. I love Christmas. We all love Christmas. I love the spring. I love the spring. I love summers in Kentucky with the wonderful humidity and 90-degree heat on days on end. No, I really don't. I love this. I love that. I love you. I love my church. I love my wife. I do. I love my husband. I love my kids. I love my family. I love my friends. I love Jesus. Amen? All you need is love. Well, as we all know, it's not that simple, is it? No, it's not that simple. God, He changed the very definition of love when 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son into our world. And then Jesus, He really turned things around. The central rule of living as a Christian is love. When Jesus was asked that question, what's the main thing of life? What's the main thing of life, Lord? He didn't hesitate to answer, did he? He said, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've heard that hundreds of times in our lives, haven't we? We've heard that one verse hundreds of times in our lives. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 13, 8 through 10, he said this. He said, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever," Paul said, "and whatever other commandments may be, are all summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." So Paul tells us, hey, you're not going to do all those other things. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to covet. You're not going to steal. You're not going to do any of those things if you follow this command. Amen? So here's where Jesus throws a real kink into everyone's definition of love. Now, God has certainly made it abundantly clear that he loves us. Amen? I mean, we're preparing to celebrate that love this coming week. We've been celebrating it really since after Thanksgiving. But we're going to celebrate it on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Even non-believers celebrate, right? But there's a big difference in celebrating Jesus and celebrating the season of Christmas. You understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference. The world often forgets we're celebrating Jesus in this season. That's what we're doing. God literally became flesh, and he came to live with us. A holy God came into our dark and sinful world. Our world came here because he loved us. Amen? He loved us. With his unconditional, unchanging, unrelenting love, he came and he sent his son. Love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And in the Kentucky translation of that, it's love folks as yourself. Love everybody as yourself. I mean, I tell you what, I struggle at times loving Connie like God would have me to do. I do. I struggle at times loving my children the way I should love my children. I struggle at times loving my friends the way I should love them. But love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for those who persecute you? What? I mean, only Moses. The people sometimes I have trouble loving, love me and care for me. And I have trouble sometimes. When I say that, I'm no joke. That's no joke. I mean, Christ said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because I loved it. Man, I don't do that all the time. I don't do that. It's a sacrificial love. Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a sacrificial love. I'm going to do a little play for you this morning. I know you're thrilled. I'm going to play both parts. I'm not going to call anybody up here. I'm going to play both parts. Me and God. Okay? Here we go. Me. God, I want to do great things for you. God. You do? Me? Yeah, you bet I do. I mean, I don't want to speak just here at New Life. I mean, I want to go up to Southland Christian in Lexington and speak to those 12,000 people that come every Sunday. I want to go up there and tell them what you've done for me, how much you've blessed me, how much you've loved me. God, well, Oz, that's not exactly what I have in mind. You see that guy sitting in the pew right across from you? me? Yeah. God. He needs a ride home. Me. What? God. Yeah. He needs a ride home, Oz. And while you're at it, you might check on your neighbor a little bit more often. You know, the one that lost her husband here a little while back. He said, or how about helping more at the soup kitchen? Or over at the thrift store? Or how about visiting the sick? Me. But what about spreading your love to everybody? God, smiling. Think about it, Oz. Just got to think about it, don't we? Why is it so challenging for us to love God as He commands us to? Why is it such a struggle to love folks and to love your neighbor as you love yourself? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because it is not in our nature. It is not in our nature to do those things. It takes discipline and it takes obedience to God's word and to His commands. You see, all we want to think about most of the time is ourselves. We want to think about ourselves. I mean, that's just how we're made. When sin was introduced into this world, then that's what came with it. Not thinking about others, not being sacrificial in what we do. And understand, I'm talking to me. This is talking to me this morning on not doing enough. You know, it takes death to self to love somebody that doesn't love you, who may be even mean to you or have done things to you, has wronged you, has shot you. How about that? It takes obedience to God. Here's something we don't often think about. The beauty of the gospel is that before we were saved by the good Lord and united with Christ, we were completely unlovable. Now think about that. Before we were united with Christ, before we were saved and put with Him, we were completely unlovable. We didn't just have some bad habits. We were completely dead in our sins. We were dead in our sins. And we were, in fact, enemies of God at that point in our life. God is well pleased of us. God is well pleased in us because He is well pleased in Jesus. Amen. He is well pleased with us because He is well pleased in Jesus. Jesus is there. God sees us through Christ. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." The love of Christ is that armor of light, my friends. And He calls us to spread that love and to spread that light with all people we meet. To love folks as you love yourself. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care what offense they have inflicted upon you. Christ calls us to love them as we love ourselves. That, my friends, has nothing to do with this world. This world doesn't see that. This world says seek revenge, be mean, do unto others as they have done to you. That's what the world says. But Christ says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Forgive them as I have forgiven you. Love them as I have loved you. I still have, a person in my life who for many, many years has absolutely been a thorn in my side. I mean a thorn. I mean at times they make me furious. I mean, they make me fighting mad. I don't get fighting mad about much anything, but they make me fighting mad. But you know, Connie said, she said, Oz, maybe it's you that need to change. She said, maybe it's you that need to love them. Maybe it's you that need to show them love and compassion and mercy. She said, how about asking God to help you on that? How about praying about that and seeing what God can do? Well, guess what? What happened? I changed. But through me changing and asking the Lord to help me, and I mean, I had to say, help me. Help me. And he did. And I did, and it changed that relationship. It changed the relationship that I'd had. It healed that relationship because it was me that needed to change. I was wanting the other person to change, but it was me that needed to change. So you got, any of you got that in your life? Any of you got that? Where you've held a grudge, or you're somebody's wronged you, and you never have made it right? Have any of you got that in your life? Well, God calls us to love that person and to try to heal that relationship. That's what he says. You start loving folks that are hard to love, and guess what? Things change. Lives change. But it takes discipline. It takes obedience to do those things. And those are hard many times. We were unlovable, but God pursued us. He pursued us in my darkest days. I've often said, in my darkest days, God was right there. He's like, I'm right here. Here I am, Oz. All you got to do is just turn around. I'm right here. I'll help you. I'll forgive you. I love you. I want you. I want you as my child. I want you. I've pursued you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm right here. I know all of us here can think of somebody that has loved us. And I'm not saying, I don't mean mother, father, whoever, friends, somebody that we don't even know, didn't know. But all of us can think of people who, by loving us and by showing us love, have changed us, have made an example for us in their life. I was able to participate in one of my best friend's mom's funeral this past Wednesday in Madisonville. And in the summer of 1977, I was in college and I was looking for a job, and I just met David Calhoun the following year at Kentucky Wesleyan College, and we struck it off right off the bat, and we both were lifeguards. And he said, you know, Oz, there's a lifeguard. I know it's hard to believe I was a lifeguard, but I was. I had hair and everything, tanned up, all that stuff, lifeguard. He said, we got lifeguard positions down here at the Madisonville VFW swimming pool. He said, you can come down here, we can both be lifeguards. And I said, well, David, that's all fine and good, but I said, I'm from Shelby County. I said, where am I going to live? He said, well, you come and live with us. I said, come and live with you? I said, your mother doesn't even know me. He said, oh, Mom, she'd be fine. She'd be fine if you're coming. So I did. I moved in, and I came to know his mother as Mama C. Mama C. Mama C had lost her husband and their father in a car wreck. David's brother still lived there, Jeff. And his oldest brother, Bobby, had already moved out. But Mama C had lost her husband in 1975 in a car wreck. And so she was left to raise David and Jeff. And what I witnessed that summer was a woman of faith. I witnessed a display of the directives that Christ lays before all of us that summer in her. I witnessed love, and I witnessed kindness, and I witnessed forgiveness, and I witnessed mercy, and I witnessed self-sacrifice by Mama C. her house was always full, and at that time it was always full of young people and on the record player. For those of you, that's a record player, put a disc on it, goes around, play music. They had on. She had Andre Crouch on there, Disciples, Phil Keaggy, I mean, you may remember Randy Stonehill, all back in the day. That's what was going on in that house. Mama C's was a home that was filled with love. And there was always room for anybody at Mama C's house. Her love and her examples of love that summer left an indelible mark on my heart that I still carry today. Now, she was 92 years old when the Lord took her on up to the house. And for 47 years, that's how long that's been, just that one summer living with a lady that I didn't even know when I moved there left an indelible mark on my soul the rest of my life. If you asked Mama C to pray for something, buddy, it was on. And I know that she prayed for David and I in our darkest days. He had dark days, and David turned in, went to the ministry, is a Methodist minister this day. Jeff, her other son, is a worship leader down in Madisonville. That's what he's done for his life work. That's what kind of an impact that lady left on folks. And countless others. Countless others. The great commandment with its two components right here, love for God and love for our neighbor, lies at the center of our response to all that Christ has done for us. Love for God and love for our neighbor lies at the center of our response to all that Christ has done for us in our lives. Our response must not focus on what makes us feel significant, preaching at Southland Christian or preaching here at New Life. It must not focus on that, or how effective we've been, or how indisposable we might think we are. Rather, we must keep coming back to obedience, coming back to the love of Jesus Christ, being obedient to what God has called us all to do and to be. As we recognize what God has done for us, we need to ask ourselves, what can we do for our neighbor in grateful response for the mercy that God has shown us? What can we do for folks in response to what God has done for us? That is why we celebrate Jesus at Christmas. That is why, when love came down and changed our world and changed us. Proverbs 3:3 says this, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart." I said at Mama C's funeral, Mama C had that written on the tablet of her heart along with a lot of other things. The only thing that ripples across eternity, my friends, the only thing, is the love of Christ and the love that we show others through Him. So this season, show on your face what you feel in your heart. Show others on your face what you feel in your heart. And maybe the person next to you does need a ride home, or maybe somebody needs something and somebody needs checking on. Do those things. That is what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you give us strength as we try to be more like Jesus in our lives. We ask that you keep the evil one away from us and keep us close to you, Father. Let our lives be testimonies of your love for us, so that when people see our lives, they would see how you have loved the world. Everybody said, amen.